Howdy and welcome to the Ears Podcast produced by Terrier TV. Want to give a huge thank you out to Edna Wilson with Celebrate Remax Aerospace for sponsoring our program. Edna and her team love Titusville and the Space Coast, and they are dedicated to helping their town thrive. They know buying or selling a home is a big deal, and they promise to help you make your home ownership dreams come true. Yeah, so howdy. How's it going, guys?
There we go. I see you wrote it down.
Well,
and that's good.
I figured I'd go a little bit deeper into it this time. I want to go a little bit deeper into it.
Yeah.
Sounded very professional.
It did. It did.
That's how I always sound, Cindy.
Almost knew what you were doing.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
Rather terrifying. So over the weekend, we went and did the Women's Center trivia event.
Yes, we did.
Bill, what were your thoughts?
Again, I feel like an idiot. I come out of that thing feeling so dumb.
How'd you guys finish? You were doing good there for a while.
We were in fourth. We finished in fourth because we butchered one category.
Yes.
Like we got three right on it. And it was going back and looking at it because I was keeping the score. Or I wasn't keeping the score. I was doing that too. But I was keeping the answers. I was writing the answers down. We scratched out throughout the entire thing. We probably scratched out 12 answers that were correct.
Oh, no.
I mean, there were some that I was like, I have no idea, y'all. So you guys decide and I'll go with it. And,
yep.
It was a lot of them were silly things. There was still one that there was an answer to that I didn't agree with.
Yeah.
The Roadrunner thing and the
right.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit crazy.
Well, because he misread it.
No. If you read the he misread it. Correct?
He misread it.
And
the
answer he gave is still wrong.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. But it is what it is. He said.
It was.
What was it? He said the what was the name of the TV show where there was an animal that was consistently
receiving packages from Acme.
From Acme. And we're like, well, that's the animal would have been Roadrunner,
yes.
The Roadrunner, but the
Wile E. Coyote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the show was Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And they said Roadrunner. And I'm like,
no,
nope,
false.
Not wrong. Incorrect. I'm sorry. But like if it, we kept saying if we were one away from winning, we would go bring it up as a thing. Yeah.
But we weren't.
Yeah, we were not one away from winning.
We were a
couple. 'Twas not the case.
Couple more.
We still found a way to butcher it. You guys have an idea how much money you raised?
We don't have a final total yet.
Okay.
I know it was right about $70,000, though.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's good. So is it better than last year?
I believe it's right on par with what they expected.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
The women that run that fundraiser, it is a well-oiled machine on there.
Oh, yeah.
They were not joking around.
An amazing job. And yeah. They're volunteers. They volunteer their time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most beautiful thing to watch.
There was a black and white bird that was running around there that was shedding feathers everywhere. Just so you know.
Oh.
Yes. They were in my hair somehow at the end of the night.
We had a group of ladies that were behind us. The theme was Hollywood. It was a Hollywood. And they were wearing boas. They were not well-made boas, okay?
Oh, man.
And let us say that boa material was everywhere.
It looked like you were tracking like a black version of Big Bird. And he was just and he was all over. Like,
and it was all over everywhere.
Where'd he go? He went this way, and then he went over here and he bought some things. And yeah. Oh, he went to the bar and he got some drinks.
There you go.
And then he went and found some food. But yeah, okay. Anyhow.
I got out of my car this morning. They were falling off the seat. I'm like, what? How? How still?
Oh my goodness!
It's
gracious.
Like glitter. Yes. Yes. It doesn't leave you.
I could point to exactly which woman that was right now. Yeah, I could bring you to her house probably. Like if you tell me her name, I could tell you like exactly who it was. But anyhow, dear goodness gracious.
But it was fun. It was a good time.
It was a great time for a great cause.
I enjoyed it.
Wouldn't have missed it. We'll do it again next year.
I had the people that I asked to be there all called me and said they had a great time. They'd be more than willing to do it next year.
Yeah, my group was the same way. It was special. I did not see my buddy Ben showing up as Tom Cruise. I did not see that one coming.
One
caught me off guard. I'm like, I did not see that from him, and it was pretty awesome.
It was. It was really cool.
Tom Cruise in flight suit and everything. It was pretty good.
Yep.
Well played. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. So today on the podcast, we are joined by Yoshita Patel, Dr. Yoshita Patel. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm trying to think when it was I first met you. Maybe it was a year ago?
Yeah, less than a year ago. It was at my office party that I have for my kids every year.
Yeah, so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here is it's Women's History Month. Pretty awesome cause. We wanted to have you on here and chat with you because you're consistently giving so much back to the community you're in and doing for others all the time. And we were talking about this before we started the podcast. A big cause of ours is trying to always do for others and give people a platform to talk about themselves, their businesses, and what's going on with them. And you're a shining light down there in the area you're in, you and your husband, and the great things you guys do. So tell us a little bit about you and what you guys do in Vieira.
Sure, that's very kind of you to say all that. I don't feel like I'm doing all that, but sure. So my husband and I are both dentists. I am a pediatric dentist, so that means that I went to dental school after college, and then I did an additional residency in training for pediatrics. So kind of like how pediatricians go to residency, pediatric dentists also go to residency. So my specialty is children 0 to 21. So my youngest patient has been 2 days old. And my oldest patient's actually over 21 because pediatric dentists usually see adults with special needs. So I have patients with Down syndrome who are in their 40s. I have patients on the autism spectrum who are in their 50s. And we're just trained a little bit differently to manage that type of care and work in collaboration with other providers. So I'm regularly on the phone with pediatricians, lactation consultants to help with breastfeeding. So it's a really incredible job. I love it. I would do it for free, and I do it for free sometimes just because I love it so much. And I think that's kind of where my community, you know, involvement goes. We do about $200,000 in pro bono work every year. And part of that is in concordance with the school systems. So the school systems will let us know if children, or the Brevard Health Alliance will tell us if children or families who can't access care are having trouble or whatever. And it's kind of like a carte blanche with me. If I know somebody in a, you know, like a pediatrician or whomever I work with regularly, and they're like, this family needs help, it's like, okay, send them my way, you know. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. I wholly admit, you know, I led a very privileged life growing up, and my parents always taught me, you know, it's always passion over profit. You know, it doesn't matter what money you make, but it matters how you live and what impact you can have. So my parents would often just be giving all the time. Like, we had a driver in India when we were little, and they heard about their family life, and they just gave them money for a car because that was going to change their life. And so I grew up seeing that, and so that just became part of who I was. So we were talking about it before the show of, like, you know, happiness, how do you find it, how do you quantify success? And for some people it's money, for me it's giving, kind of like you. The more impact you can have on the lives around you, the richer your life is. So that's how I live, and I'm fortunate in that I found my passion early. Dentistry sounds weird to call it a passion, but oral health in general is something that people fear. And I wanted to go back and not let people fear what they don't need to. So I was a general dentist when I first got out of dental school. I did what's called a general practice residency. So it was mostly special needs adults that we saw in the operating room setting, our patients who couldn't afford care. And so that really kind of planted the seed for special needs dentistry for me. And then I moved to Texas to follow my husband, who's an endodontist, so he does root canals. So nobody really wants to see him, but they really do need to see him because they're in pain. And so we're very fortunate in that we can communicate very clearly with our patients, but also we're very similarly minded in the way we live life, so it's kind of cool. And so we ended up in Texas for many years for his training, and then I went back to do pediatrics after I taught for a little while and was a general dentist and realized I didn't enjoy that. And my happiest days were with children, which is weird for a lot of general dentists because, like, I don't want to see any children. That's horrible. But what I noticed is the theme was adults who feared the dentist, and a lot of times they'd be like, I am so scared, I don't know why, and it's always 100%, I had a bad experience as a child. It's like, I want to fix that. Like, there's no child that should be afraid of what is happening, and I don't understand why. We were talking about childhood traumas earlier. You know, it is a big trauma. You know, you hear all these adults are like, well, I wasn't numb when they did that, and they said I was, and it's like, that's not something that should ever happen, that anyone should ever go through in any healthcare setting, let alone dentistry. So my goal is make it fun, empower people so they know what to look for and, you know, what questions to ask, because we often don't know that. We don't link the mouth with the rest of the body for some reason. We think it's like out here and the body's over there. But there's so much systemic, you know, health that's linked to oral health. And we get the privilege of learning about the body as a system, but also the mouth. And it's a really cool education. I love my education. And I ended up doing a master's in public health because I also liked knowing how this affects the community. So one mouth, 10 mouths, 1,000 mouths, you know, how is, you know, what I do going to affect people? And I always love, you know, the idea of it's a drop in the bucket, but it's an ocean, and you can help that with just simple tasks. So that's what I try to do, is do something small every day to help somebody. So whether that's, you know, finding a family that needs help and saying, you know what, I'm going to help you today. We're not charging you for what we're doing today. Just go bless somebody else. You know, I have the privilege of doing that because I own my practice and I can do whatever I want. So there's a beauty in that. So
pretty much every compliment I played out to you there in the very beginning, you've magnified by 10. So anything you were saying that doesn't qualify. I'm sorry. It qualifies 100 times over.
He undersold you, by the way, if you're wondering.
Well, yeah. We all know what he does. He boosts you up and makes you feel like an all-star. And then you're like, that's not me.
No, that's an amazing thing to do for the community. Dental care is expensive. And yes. So many people, especially in this area, don't have dental insurance. And they go through life sick because you're absolutely right. Your teeth can affect the rest of your body.
It's the number one reason why kids miss school. Yeah. And it's, you don't think about cavities as disease, but it's the number one disease in children. Yeah. So it's undervalued. I think it's underappreciated. So I try to create appreciation for that through education of my family, so they understand the impact of what every day can do for a child or for a family. I mean, we've got parents who come in and say, I haven't been to the dentist in 20 years. And I'm like, why? Let's find you somebody. So we go through all the questions of who are you looking for? What's your ideal dentist? I will find you that person. But you need to show your child this is important. And you need to take care of yourself. So, I don't know. I love it. It's great.
Okay, I got a question.
Sure.
At what point in dental school do they have a class or something where they tell you you can't chit-chat with a patient while in the middle of a procedure?
You know, it's interesting because I think that whole idea of like you open your mouth and now the dentist asks you questions.
Yes.
I never do that.
Thank you. That's good. I swear it's like a game. It's got to be intentional. Yeah.
But you know, it's funny how you can't understand what they're saying though. Like I'll have kids have full on conversations with me and they've got something in their mouth and they're talking. I'm not really like involved in myself, but they'll be like, oh, and the parent will be like, what? And I'll say, they want to go get ice cream after. They want mint chocolate chip. So have that ready. And it's just funny. You like learn how to understand
them. You can translate
them.
The whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
But it's a special skill.
It is.
Can't tell you anymore because that's privileged information.
That's right. Give away the show. Kick her
out of the after-hours meeting.
No, but it is cool. We do have behavioral management classes that we have in residency for kids specifically. So we learn how to communicate verbally, non-verbally. And they do have communication classes, but they, for some reason, they skip over that whole don't ask somebody a question when they've got like cotton rolls and like a mouth prop in their mouth. But it's fun to talk to people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. So you were saying something a minute ago that cavities are a disease. And, you know, I have a biomedical background. I didn't think about all that until I started going through school and going through things. And then before you have heart surgery, which, you know, I had almost 2 years ago to the day, they make sure that you don't have any kind of dental issues because it can directly affect your heart along with everything else in your body. So tell us about, you know, cavities being a disease and what your dental health means to the rest of your body.
Sure.
Especially for kids. I mean, adults too, but you know, I'm sure it means a lot more than kids because you're growing up that way.
Sure. Well, it really depends on your ASA status. So how healthy are you to start? Kids who are ASA 1 and 2 are very healthy, maybe mild asthma, things like that. ASA 3 and 4, you're talking about kids with heart conditions, kids with life-threatening conditions, seizure disorders, things like that. So cavity risk is really dependent on how healthy are you to start. Are there kids with cavities in their mouth and they're perfectly fine? Yes. Are there kids with abscesses in their mouth and they're perfectly fine? Yes. But you have a heart kid with an abscess, that could kill them.
Yeah, you're asking for failure.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's kids who are perfectly healthy with an abscess where they have bacterial meningitis and they die. There was a child, 6-year-old DeMonte Driver, and that was probably 15 years ago, but he died from a dental abscess that was ignored. And that's heartbreaking. Like, that should never happen. That child was a healthy, healthy child, but the body can't overcome certain things. And I see abscesses every week, every day, you know. So I think from the disease standpoint, there's a bacteria that causes cavities. It's Streptococcus mutans. It's something that we pass on to our children, especially mothers. We pass it on to our children. And so if you are a high cavity risk, you are going to make your child a high cavity risk because you're already inoculating with the cavity producing bacteria. There's certain things that increase the load and bacterial load of Streptococcus mutans, and that's fermentable burr carbohydrates, so goldfish crackers, gummy vitamins, sticky sour candy, anything rainbow colored and fun and sticky and sour like a Sour Patch Kid. Bacteria loves that. So it's more of a holistic view of the child of if we can increase the habits that are beneficial and less risk inducing for a cavity early, they're less likely to have cavities as they age. So in the some of the studies, it shows if you can keep a child cavity free until age 3 or a little bit beyond age 3, it's very unlikely that they'll ever have a cavity in their life. And that's because all of the things that we want to do, brush, floss, fluoride, mouthwash, all those things, if you establish all that early, that's built into them. Like my children are 5.5 and 2.5. We've brushed and flossed since they were had teeth, 6 months. And they will not go to bed without brushing and flossing. They refuse. And it's because we did that for them. We said, this is just how you need to take care of yourself. With diet, that's a huge thing. A lot of parents ask, well, I have bad teeth. That means my kid's going to have bad teeth. And that's not true. There are so few things that can be a genetic condition. One of them's amelogenesis imperfecta. We've got a couple of kids with that in our practice. They're just born without enamel. And you can't control that. Dentinogenesis imperfecta, another one. But those are so rare. But those,
yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and they're very rare, but we see them. We have them in our county. But pediatric dentists are usually ones that see them just because we see them so young. But with the health issues that occur, you know, like I said, it's based off of how at risk are you of a subacute bacterial endocarditis, which is what they're trying to avoid with antibiotics before a procedure. But also, you know, how are your risks at home? You know, are you in a high, you know, smoking home or a asthma home? You know, do you have risk factors? Socioeconomic status is a big risk factor. Dental IQ, you know, how knowledgeable is your parent about it? So one thing I did for my practice when I first started is I said, we're going to do an under 3 exam for free because that at least will get people who can't seek care at that age when they need to have that care and knowledge. Get them in the office, get them the information. So at least now with information and knowledge, you can do anything, you know. And I've given you the knowledge, do with it what you want, but you make that decision at home. And there's so many parents that even though they can't afford it, they pay every 6 months to come because they know that I'm going to tell them what they need to have success in their child's life, health-wise and otherwise. And then you talk about diet, you know, the kids that are drinking the soda, the sports drinks and all that stuff, they're going to be higher cavity risk, but they're higher obesity risk too. And so when you think about it in a holistic perspective, we're trying to hone in their diet to healthy things, hone in their hygiene to healthy things, and then that will then transpire to their adulthood. So when you can empower a child into saying, I know how to take care of myself. I know what foods are bad and not good, you know, and great. And my son will do that. He'll bring home his little goodie bag from Valentine's Day, puts everything out on the table, lollipops, gummies, fruit snacks all go on one side, chocolate goes on the other, and he himself will take all the gummies and lollipops and begrudgingly throw them in the trash because he knows that that's not good for him. And he wants it. He can have it sometimes, but he knows, like, that's not good for me. So I think empowering the kids early helps them and helps the parents too because now the kids are making good decisions, so now they're forced to make good decisions. And so it's that trickle effect that you can have in a family and literally change a generational thing that's going on.
That's never amazing. Never thought about that. That's amazing.
Yeah,
no, without a doubt. So I want to talk a little bit about what you do for your patients and the community you're in down there. Mm-hmm. You guys do yearly events or bi-yearly events?
So I usually work through the Space Coast Health Foundation. We'll choose a day where we bring in kids who have a mouthful of issues. They need to be sedated for it. And so we bring an anesthesia team into the office. They'll sedate the children. I'll do all their work. And then they go home. And then they're followed up by Brevard Health Alliance. So we usually try to do that annually. If I can swing it, my staff volunteers, we have a lot of volunteers that come in to help for that day. And these are children whose parents might not even be able to make it that day. These are teachers who are volunteering their time. Dr. Doakes, she's with, she was with Family or Children's Home Society, and now she has another job. I'm sorry, Cynthia. I don't know exactly what your job title is now, but she's an incredible human being. She would drive these kids from their houses, bring them to their office, and she would keep them busy, and then she'd take the next one home and then bring the next one. And it's like she's an incredible, like, superwoman like you. She just, you know, does things to help people, asking for nothing in return. But she literally changes these kids' lives. I had one text from her, and the mom, I'm going to cry, but the mom had never seen her daughter smile in 2 years. And then this kid goes home and smiles, and it's like, that changed her life, her confidence, everything. And it's incredible to have that impact and do it for free. It's great. I love it. But yeah.
Yeah, you don't think about that with a smile, but there's a lot of people that probably don't smile due to the fact that they have dental issues.
Yeah.
I hear that every day because one
really?
Of, a high number yeah. of our clients
yeah.
can't afford dental care and go years, if not decades, without it. And then they're finally in the situation where they can leave that abusive environment
mm-hmm.
and it's their time to get back into the workforce. And that is one of the biggest things they're afraid of when they're going for interviews is my teeth. They're going to judge me. You don't think about how much that really affects your confidence and how you present mm-hmm. to the world.
Wow.
Especially abuse victims. They already feel a little yeah. bit self-conscious of how are people viewing me. And then if it's through trauma or whatever, it's like PTSD every time you open your mouth.
Yeah. It's a constant reminder.
Yeah.
You don't think about the blessings you have sometimes. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people, myself included, I'm sure we've all done it, that take the simple things like that for granted. And you don't realize that all those things are going on with people until you hear the topic get brought up.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Wow. It's incredible. So you also do an event out in the parking lot for your people. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I just thought it would be fun when I started to have a party for the kids because a lot of them can't afford going to things like that. And I just thought, why not? And there was a faculty that in dental school at University of Michigan, he would have a party in his parking lot around Halloween, and he'd have a magician come, and it was a small thing, but I volunteered for it, you know, and it was really fun. The kids loved it. And talk about decreasing a child's fear to the dentist. Like, our dentist's having a party, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we started with like 150 people, and then it became 400 people, and then 500 people, and then last year it was 880 people.
Wow.
So it's been a big thing, and parents are so grateful, and the kids just love coming, and everything's free. The food's free, and parents don't have to worry. There's like bounce houses, and there's face painting, and Alligator Rob was there. That was a big draw for some people. And so I tried to make it as inclusive for ages, but also inclusive for sensory issues as well. And that's why it's outside, so that the kids who need to wear the headphones because it's too loud can do that. And we have sensory time before the event really starts. We have a half hour where kids with sensory processing disorders can come and just be. You know, if that's walking around the parking lot 20 times, great. Or staying in one spot in the bouncy house for 20 minutes, great. But at least they have a chance to be included in a bigger event where they're comfortable. So that's what I try to do every year. And I always try to get donations for Hello Again Bookstore, just because I love that store. And I love Amy and MB.
They are amazing.
And so we started doing that where we just asked to enter the party, please bring a book to donate. And so we just collect a bunch of books for amazing people and help them too.
I noticed in sitting there and watching all the kids and the parents and everything run around that parking lot that there were so many happy kids the entire time. And, you know, I've always enjoyed that from the educational standpoint with what we do. You know, kids see an alligator, adults see an alligator or a snake or something. Usually it's maybe 1 in 10 people freak out, but most people you see their eyes just get super huge and they're like, whoa, look at that. It's something really cool. And these kids, there were so many of them that would come over and would start telling their parents about these animals before we even started talking about it. And to me, that warms my heart. You know, it'd be like you having a kid in the chair and them telling their parents about proper dental work.
Yeah,
this is, she's told me all about this, let me share it with you now.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Children are the best. I love children.
They are.
But my son was one of those kids, and he was like, I'm and the caiman and this and that, and I was like, oh, what are you talking about? But he loves wildcrats, and so he was so excited when you were there, and he's a big fan. But it's cool to see the world through their eyes every single day and just be open to it and not have prejudice and just be kind, you know, it's in their hearts to be kind. And you see them like seeing the kid crying, you can go first, like, I'm okay, you know, and they just, they learn so much from each other, and it's such a cool event, and I love it, and I refuse to stop doing it, no matter how big it gets. But it's been a real blessing to be able to do that for my kiddos.
And keep in mind, those compliments I gave in the beginning, they're getting less and less appropriate because they just, I didn't mountain it up high enough.
Yeah.
And she's like, you gave me too much. Like,
I'm a little disappointed in you.
You're
actually.
Really? I felt like I should have kept pouring it on for like at least another 5 minutes before I could have got there. Oh, goodness gracious. So you were saying also that your husband works with you now.
Yeah. So he's an endodontist. He started his practice 2 years ago during the pandemic, and he does root canals, and he definitely changes people's minds about root canals. His office is called Space Coast Endodontics. And it's funny how many, it's because it's in a pediatric office, I plumbed it for pediatric care. There's TVs on the ceiling. There's laughing gas. So it's like, you know, we treat the adults like kids sometimes too. And sometimes good. They need that because you talk about the traumas from past history, or I wasn't numb when they did this. And he's a wizard. Like, he was top of our class. It was hard to be in school with him because I was always like, ugh, you don't even have to try and you're really good. And so it's cool to be married to someone who's really good at their job and to really look up to them too clinically. But he and I work together with kids who need root canals due to trauma. That's one of my trivia questions later. But trauma is a big one that we see, baseball injuries, things like that. The ball comes to their face, the gloves up here, the sun's in their eyes, and boom. I had one on a 7-year-old just fell off a chair at the dining table and fractured 3 teeth. And there's so much we see in dentistry. And so oftentimes we work together. And so he'll do the root canal. I'll do a filling or a crown on top of it. Sometimes the kids are sleeping when we do that. And that makes it a little bit more comprehensive. They can only be put to sleep once, and we can do everything all at one time. And so a lot of our kids, like last week, we had two, you know, kids who were like 15 and 17, deathly afraid of everything. And we just did all their work while they were sleeping and woke up and it was all over, and texted their parents later. And they're like, yeah, it's like never, nothing ever happened. And they're feeling good. So it's really cool to be able to work with your spouse in a positive manner and not want to kill each other at home. But I really admire him. He's really good at his job. And honestly, he's one of the best endodontists I know. And I'm not just saying that because I'm married to him. I would refer to him even if he didn't work with me. But he's really, really good at what he does. And I like working with him when we do, because you know it's really helping somebody.
Okay, I got two questions based on that. One, kids that, like, if they had a teeth damage as a child, mm-hmm. when they still have their baby teeth, how does that affect them as adults?
It can affect them. It depends on the age of injury and what type of injury. So there's very common injuries are chips to the teeth, you know, little things, the water bottle hits it the wrong way. Those are less damaging to the permanent teeth. But babies who fall and the tooth gets pushed in, understand that your adult teeth are developing at birth. So once you are born, your adult teeth are actually forming up in the gum tissue. They form from the edge of the tooth to the root. And so if you had a trauma where the baby tooth was pushed in, it could potentially damage the permanent tooth as it's developing. So a 12-month-old falling and having that happen versus a 3-year-old, you know, that happening to, that changes the likelihood of it traumatizing the tooth. So early childhood trauma is more, it's more likely to affect the permanent teeth. And the way it would affect it is, I call them freckles, but like discolorations, things like that can happen frequently that are very difficult to mask until adulthood. So a lot of aesthetic issues that occur due to trauma as a child.
I used to be one of those people that was terrified of the dentist.
Oh, no.
I didn't find one till recently that I was comfortable with. But it happens. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah,
I was telling you as a kid, I had a dentist that... It was before Dennis started wearing gloves, and he had like super, super hairy knuckles. And I always remember his hair of his knuckles tickling my nose, and it did not make things better. It used to freak me out. You know, it was a legit thing. Yeah,
they didn't start wearing gloves till the '80s.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, yep. I mean, that was probably 85 or 86.
Yeah,
I want to say, yeah, because I was a little guy, and yeah, I was yeah.
My father-in-law, he trained without gloves. He was, wow. They were doing oral surgery and things like that without gloves. Wow. And some of the videos we watched in dental school, it'd be like a full-on surgery bare hands, and it's like,
no,
can
cringe.
You imagine?
It was so
oh,
gross.
I can imagine.
Yeah,
you oh, did. I can imagine.
You,
yeah.
You can?
I guess you can.
Tell, sure. Tell us about it.
You went through the same thing, right? I'm sure.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
I do know.
Oh, I remember that. Every dental experience I ever had, because they were, no. They were until recently, they were never good.
But that's funny. You remember it. You blocked it out. You
no,
know?
Well, so. No, here's the thing. I didn't have a cavity until I was in my 50s.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
So, yeah.
I always sit with my hands balled up as tight as I possibly aww. Can. Even still nowadays where I'm comfortable, hashtag comfortable, and I still sit with my, like, my fist balled, like, as tight as I can possibly ball them. When I get done, I can barely open my hands up because I'm just, like, the whole time.
But yeah. It is interesting. It's sensory overload. There's no other procedure you'll go through where it involves sight, smell, taste, sound, that's everything true. All at one time. Yeah. And that's where our sensory-seeking kids, they have big struggles because no matter how you prep them, it's just everything all at once. And so a lot of adults go through that and don't talk about it. But we have a lot of anxious parents who, like, can't even watch the procedure because they're like, this is just too much for me. And they have to, like, step out of the room. But... you know, we try to educate them to the point of this is what we're doing. And I take a lot of pictures when I'm working. So when I'm working on a cavity, I'll take a picture before, during, after. This is what it looks like cleaned out. This is what the filling looks like. So they that's understand awesome. It more. And I show the kids because there's nothing more scary than someone doing something and you have no idea what they're doing to you. And so when they see it, they're like, oh, that's what you're doing in there, or that's what my dentist was doing, you know. And it's really fun to be able to show them we're doing microsurgery on your tooth and you're sitting here and
that's
you're like
awesome.
4-year-old that's like doing twitching, you know? Yeah. So it's a cool thing to show people.
That is good. Okay, so we gave you a little bit of homework.
Yes.
And before we do that, I want to do this now and then do this at the end again too. If people want to bring their child to you, mm-hmm. where do they go to, how do they find you, what platforms are you on?
So I post a lot of educational things to Instagram and Facebook just to,
yes, you do.
Even if you don't come to me, I want you to know, you know, how to help your kiddo.
It's amazing.
But
if you're not following her on Instagram, definitely follow you guys on Instagram.
Thank you. But it's at Vieira Pediatric Dentistry, just the name of my office, for Facebook and Instagram. And then for our website, it's vierapd.com. And that's the best way to reach us is by phone or by email.
Gotcha.
And my staff is incredible. They're an amazing group of women who work as a team.
Okay,
and
I got a question
please,
for you.
Please, yes.
Because I was on the website.
Okay.
And I looked at your staff.
Okay.
What's the deal with the dog?
That's Nemo. That's why.
She has a dog listed in her staff.
Yes.
She's
yes.
got all of that, and she's got
I was
like,
hoping one of you guys
things
would ask this
that
question.
The staff likes, what their favorite things yes. are, and then she has a dog.
And Nemo loves sweet potato. Yeah. So that's our dog. Nemo
I was hoping that question would come up.
She's 8 years old, and she's a Maltipoo, so she's hypoallergenic. So I bring her to the office somewhat as my support animal. but some of the little kids, if you promise them, like, you can play with Nemo when you're all done. You can throw the ball to her. They are just over the moon. You know, I feel like animal therapy is something that's very underrated. And they just eyes just light up, and they love it. They love so, Nemo. But
yes.
Nemo's been staying home with my daughter because my daughter and Nemo are besties. So she's kind of taken on that role at home with my
she's
daughter.
She's taken a leave of absence.
Yes, a leave of absence. But
from
she
the
does.
Practice?
No, she comes sometimes. I don't advertise when she's there. But she does come to the office sometimes and just hangs out. And you'll just see her with her paws up on my door, just looking outside and waving to the kids. But yeah, she's my little dog. She's part of our team.
Well, good.
Goodness gracious, that is awesome. I was so hoping one of you guys would pick up on that. That's great stuff. All right, you want to hit us with some questions?
Sure.
Wait, okay, so first off, do we have a topic?
Teeth.
Okay, makes sense.
Thought that was appropriate.
No, so you never know. When people show up, you never know if they're going to go like a broad range of topics or if they're going to choose a certain one. And teeth make a lot of sense.
I think so.
Yeah.
100 years ago, what percentage of people were toothless, had no teeth, zero teeth?
100 years ago.
I'd say very few.
You'd say very few?
I would say very few. I don't think that started happening until people realized the differences and the benefits to not having them. I think a lot of people went around with rotten teeth in their mouth for a long time.
And they also didn't have as much high fructose corn syrup and
truth. Yeah,
I don't know. I would still say 50%.
Are you talking about like of all ages?
Anybody.
I'm saying less than 20. I'm saying, I'll say 12. I'll say 12%.
I'll go 20.
Cindy with the win. 50%.
Wow. Really? Even that far back?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a silent killer, periodontal disease.
Yeah.
Most people actually lose their teeth due to gum disease, then cavities. So if you're not taking care of your gums, you might want to.
Mm-hmm.
So wow. Yeah, the bone breaks down with the bacteria that causes gum disease. So and any support.
Flossing, biggest thing to do in
flossing,
that?
Flossing, and yeah, just keeping the teeth clean. But the bone that holds your teeth in, if you're not protecting that, it's going to be eaten away. So I just saw a parent actually in my practice, hadn't been to the dentist in 20 years. He's in his 40s. 50% of his bone was gone.
Oh.
And it's heartbreaking. Nuts. But you can hold on to that. You can hold on to it, and you can keep teeth with that less amount of bone. But once you start dropping to 60, 70%, it's kind of like a matter of time before you'll need dentures. So.
And I will be brushing when I go home.
Thank you.
I know. I'm sitting here going,
Yeah, but it's the more you know, right? If you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't judge or fault any parents, because it's like, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you you're doing something wrong. You just didn't know.
Yeah.
So I think that's why some people like our practice, because we try to be as non-judgmental as we can. And we understand life happens.
It's pretty important.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to educate. So you do what you want with the information. But yeah. Would you like another trivia?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What naturally occurring mineral helps decrease the incidence of cavities by 25%?
Fluoride?
Cindy, yes.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Very
good. Yay, I'm actually getting some right today.
Yeah.
I have been on a downward spiral streak.
So you killed that audit today. You're killing it here today, too. But yeah, so fluoride is a big, big thing up here in Titusville. It was taken out of MIMS water a couple of years ago, and now
was that fluoride or fluorite?
Fluoride.
Was it fluoride?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Because I always get them both confused for some reason, and I know they're two different animals.
They are. Yeah. Very, very different.
Very.
And so that's a concern for me as a pediatric dentist, because all the studies show when you remove fluoride from community water fluoridation, you see an uptick in cavities 3 years later. And so now next year, we're going to see an uptick of cavities in our kids and MIMS, and that's one of the most treated populations in the county. So I'm hoping that we can reinstate that fluoride at some point in the near future, but there's a lot of misinformation out there about a lot of things, but especially fluoride. So
interesting.
Yeah. All right. What sports have the highest incidence of tooth avulsion, which means the tooth is knocked out?
I would say number one would have to be hockey.
Yes.
Number one would have to be hockey, and number two would have to be either soccer or baseball, I would guess. What do you think?
I would think, yeah.
Mouthpieces are encouraged in football these
baseball.
Days.
Baseball. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
They're not. It's not until just recently they start using a face guard. Yeah, not until just recently did you start using a face guard in baseball.
I would think baseball. Yeah.
I would think hockey.
Yeah, hockey's got to be number one.
Oh, hockey. I've seen some things in hockey, yeah.
You guys in there have any ideas?
Boxing?
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good guess.
I didn't
good
even idea. Think about that.
Yeah, mouthpieces
that.
Are there, but sometimes they don't make a difference.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
The
yeah.
amount of force that's coming at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Any last guesses?
I'm going to go with hockey or baseball, or maybe both, all the above.
Okay, tell us how wrong we are.
No, you're half right. It's basketball.
Really?
And baseball. Think about all those
elbows. Yeah, elbows being thrown.
Yeah.
I did not think about
throwing
that.
Throwing bows. No, wow.
Close quarters.
And you're a basketball guy. I did not think about this.
Yeah, close quarters and elbows.
Yeah, and they're all chewing on them. They're not eating. Like, they're not putting them where they're supposed to be. Like, Steph Curry always has his hanging out to the side. And it's like, get in there.
Put it in your mouth.
Yes, and hockey is much more up north, obviously. I had some pretty gnarly ones at the University of Wisconsin when I was up there.
Oh, I bet.
But it's mostly basketball and baseball, and it's usually recreational. It's not even.
You always see those guys, the old school hockey guys that are smiling with missing teeth.
Yeah.
It always makes you go there first. Yeah, I would have not have guessed baseball or basketball, excuse
me.
I would have not have went there. But when you say it, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so all the kids, I recommend they have one. And it's interesting you say football, because they do mandate it at the state level.
Yeah, they're not. They win basketball,
but
they
don't win basketball.
And well, knowing this now, I mean, hello, guys.
All right, Titusville basketball coach. Let's do this.
Yeah. Legit, yeah. Seriously. That's, wow. Yeah, okay.
And kids are generally going to be more aggressive and have less skill and control over their bodies. So we see a lot of that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. That's one I'll go to war with you on that one. That's an easy one to talk about too. That's good.
Which animal has the most teeth of any animal?
Crocodilians have 80. 40 top and 40 bottom.
Okay.
So I don't know what would have more than that. I don't.
Think smaller.
Smaller.
Not bigger.
Mm-hmm. Smaller.
Go ahead, Brandon. Tell us what you think.
A whale shark.
She said smaller.
Smaller.
You went 100 times bigger.
So did I. I was like a whale.
Smaller. It wouldn't be a mole. Mm-mm. It wouldn't. I've seen possum teeth enough times. I see them daily, so I know it ain't. I know it ain't a possum.
Smaller than a gator, but has more teeth than a gator.
I don't know. Oh, well, I'm guessing it's not a mammal.
No.
Okay, it's not a mammal, so it's probably an arachnid or an insect.
Ooh. I don't know how you'd classify that. Oh. No.
It wasn't a definitive no.
It's not a mammal. We, at least we have that.
Lives
going
in
for
a shell. If that.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
You might see it after a rainfall on the sidewalk.
Like a snail.
Snail?
Yes! Snail?
They have teeth?
They have thousands.
My mind
that
is blown
terrifying.
Right now. How did I not know this?
That is terrifying.
Look up microscopic mouth snail, and it's like, ugh. You get the heebie-jeebies. That'll give you heebie-jeebies.
You know what? I think that's something I'm never going to Google.
Yeah, no, I did it
you
once, and you
so?
Can't.
You don't see that?
I don't want to.
You
no.
can't.
That's
unsee
not a trivia
it.
Question of all trivia questions that I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah.
That is
oh,
the
yeah.
best. Maybe I'm going to give that an award as maybe the best trivia question we've ever had on here.
Well, you can take
that
to
way
trivia
off.
Night.
I never would have guessed that.
I've got one for you.
Nobody would have ever guessed that.
No.
All right. Last one, which is more of a serious one.
Wow.
What vaccine can prevent oral cancer?
What vaccine?
Can prevent oral cancer.
Is it the HPV vaccine?
Man, Cindy.
Yes it is.
Killing
dang,
it today.
Cindy. You're freaking like, 4 of 5.
Yeah.
That's never happened before.
Wow. Got
same wavelength yes. here.
Okay, so how does that work?
So HPV, there's certain strains that are more virulent towards oral cancer, especially in white men in their 40s. So we've seen an uptick in white males in their 40s for oropharyngeal cancer, even without a history of smoking. And so what we're seeing, I believe it's HPV 16, 18, 32, and 34, that those particular strains are more virulent and cause oropharyngeal cancer, which is very hard to diagnose. I mean, when you're diagnosed, you're usually stage 3 or stage 4, just because of how difficult it is to see the oropharynx. Like, you really got to get in there to see it. And most of it's asymptomatic up until then. And so when the HPV vaccine is given, it's between ages 10 and 12, usually. And it's given that way, and this is kind of like a cover your ears, kids type of thing, but it's given at that age because the age of first sexual contact nationally is generally around age 13. So, hide your kids. But that's why it's given, because if you can give the vaccine before they have been exposed to that particular HPV strain, they're much less likely to get oropharyngeal cancer and cervical cancer too, but for the purposes of being a dentist. But yeah, we've seen a huge uptick in men. And so that is something that I like to get out there, because it's not just the girls, it's the boys more so in some cases.
This has been a very information-filled podcast.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And
So tell us all one more time, if people want to reach out to you and find you guys on social media, mm-hmm. where they find you guys at?
Website's VieraPD.com. Our handles for Facebook and Instagram are at Viera Pediatric Dentistry.
Yoshito, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You,
Frank. You're a true blessing to our community. Yeah, you've said so much more above and beyond anything that I could even say to compliment you on all you guys do. Really, thank you for who you and your husband are, what you guys do for everyone, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you. We appreciate you, too.
All right, guys. You got anything crazy going on this week?
No, it's pretty quiet.
Yeah. Cindy?
I hope not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm back to the Space Center tomorrow. Yeah. We'll talk about that another time.
There you go.
That's a discussion discussion for
when
another
the
time.
NDA is up.
Yeah. And well, there isn't one. I didn't have to sign one.
Really?
Yeah, that's shocking.
They nobody made me sign anything, so... It is what it is. I didn't complain. Another week. More critters. All part of the excitement. All right. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you again, Yoshito, for being here. We super appreciate you. And we'll catch you all next week. Bye-bye.